Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Whatever you want. You can take control of the airwaves via this phone number at 603-283-6160.
Call now.
With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Peakless Mountaineer.
Operators are standing by. Here's how to order. Actually, we don't have any operators here. It's just us.
It's us. Well, yeah. We're standing by. We're standing
and we don't
by.
Really even screen calls anymore.
Could you get one of your producers to look up? We have none. No.
No.
Well,
no,
we do can't. From time to time. We do have a producer.
We are
today,
the producers.
Actually.
True. We do have somebody in the background here. Zeppin is here. Awaiting his turn tonight, where he'll be joining you guys for Beard Talk Live.
That's right.
That happens at 10:30 Eastern Time. Sadly, nobody had a family emergency, had to leave town.
Yeah, we had to have a substitute for nobody.
It's hard to fill in for nobody. I mean, it's a tough...
Hey, nobody can't do the job.
He's got big shoes.
Somebody has to do the job that nobody else can.
Indeed. You found that somebody, and he'll be on with you
and
tonight.
And he substitutes for nobody.
10:30 Eastern Time at our video streaming platforms, which include various different places. I thought we were back on YouTube, but... doesn't look like it. But otherwise, you can find us over at video.freetalklive.com and watch.freetalklive.com for the actual live stream page. That is later tonight, Eastern Time, 10:30, so stay tuned for that. We're going to start out tonight. We'll talk about the banking crisis that's been, boiling and bubbling over.
What banking crisis?
Well, more people are becoming aware of it. It's about 48% of the Americans now that...
seems to be the Fed's...
That's what they're saying.
Banking crisis.
Yeah, banking crisis. But now about 48% of Americans are concerned about the money.
Don't look behind me. There's no banking crisis here.
Yeah.
There's nothing behind the curtain. So, well, and as you pointed out, 48% were concerned before the First Republic fell.
That's right. Yeah.
So I would assume that more than 48%
maybe
are concerned now.
Yeah, hopefully. We can talk about that. But. Julian Assange is back in the news because he has something to say. And when Julian Assange has something to say, I think we should probably pay
attention.
He's
like E.F. Hutton.
Who was that?
There's a commercial from way back in the day. I think they were an investment firm or something. They're like,
oh, okay.
Like they had a little kid going, A, B, C, D, E, F, E, F, E, F, Hutton. And then the announcer, like the Zeus-like guy, he'd come through and be like, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen, right? Like the whole class turns their head, pays attention to him.
So that's how it should be for Julian Assange because, well, he is this sort of canary in the coal mine, so to speak, on the question of press freedoms. And we're also going to dig into that, too, because, Captain, you've got the latest press freedom index from the Reporters Without Borders organization that ranks each country on the world as far as, how freedom-friendly are they to
the
journalists.
Yeah. And I would just like to point out what an excellent name that is.
Reporters Without Borders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've been following that study for a while, and apparently the 2023 edition just came out. So that'll follow this up, which is a letter that Julian Assange, and for those of you that don't know who Julian Assange is, do either of you guys want to explain to a listener that may be saying, who? Julian who?
Well, you see, there's this journalist who has never stepped foot in America, but is somehow treasonous toward America.
That's not... Yeah.
Betrayer of a place that he doesn't really seem to like all that much and has never had anything directly to do with.
Journalist who founded WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
And also I'd like to point out that everything that WikiLeaks has published, nothing has ever been... refuted as false.
That's
like everything
point.
That they have ever published. So here we have arguably the world's most
What's the word I'm looking for?
Reputable.
Reputable. Journalism. Credible. You know, with integrity. Mm-hmm. Right. As far as measurables are concerned, there's like no one else more measurable than Julian Assange and WikiLeaks with telling the truth and having accurate information in his reporting. No one else on planet Earth. Near as I can tell.
I am trying to tell as much of the truth as accurately as I can. I still have to make retractions because I screw up.
Mistakes. Sure. But
hey, on the
he's got a stellar record, and as you pointed out, he's being persecuted, yeah, not only by the U.S., but by authorities all over the globe.
Because they don't like truth-telling.
Well, and by oppressed, slowly tortured to death in prison.
Yeah.
In a high-security maximum kind of prison. In fact, that's what he's going to be talking about in his letter. I don't know how long it's been since Julian Assange has made, you know, a public statement like this. It feels like it's been some time, unless we missed it the last time. But he is speaking out. He's been in prison, by the way, for several years, ever since he left the confines of the Ecuadorian embassy in the UK, where he had escaped to while I think it was... one of the European countries was wanting to prosecute him. I don't remember if it was the Netherlands or something like that.
Yeah.
But there was some fake rape charges that were being alleged about him that ended up being dropped. But he went and he sort of hid out in the Ecuadorian embassy until a new Ecuadorian president was elected, who then turned on him and essentially forced him out the door of the embassy into the waiting arms of the United Kingdom's police, who then took him into Belmarsh prison, where he's been awaiting potential extradition to the United States to face, as you mentioned, treason charges,
which is ridiculous because he's not an American citizen.
He just helped Bradley Manning, now Chelsea Manning, get the information that
he's
that
a publisher
had.
He's like the New York Times.
Yeah.
He's a publisher. Yeah. Do you see them prosecuting and jailing and you know, otherwise imprisoning the folks who run the New York Times?
Well,
or
they would if they told the
Chicago
truth.
Tribune or any other you know, reputable newspaper?
Look, if the New York Times told the truth, they would absolutely be tortured to death in prison.
I mean, I know that they're trying to give Matt Taibbi a really hard time for his role in deciphering the Twitter files. And I wish the best for him as well.
Yeah, and we've talked recently about some of the journalists that have been targeted here in the United States. Of course, Julian Assange is just the most high value target. He's the most noteworthy. So that's what we're going to focus on.
Well, and let's not forget that journalism isn't pigeonholed in just newspapers, right? It is everything. It is media personalities in general, including you, Mr. Ian Freeman.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm a journalist, but
no, but you are a media personality.
We talk about things,
and you do talk about things from the perspective of truth.
And sometimes we break news here on Free Talk Live.
So I'm just saying that overall, media is being persecuted at a higher rate, I think, than I've ever seen.
So at the moment, there's some old coot in the United Kingdom that is being crowned the king. And there's all this hubbub about that in the media today. Of course, everybody's putting on their Sunday best, and they're going out and pressing the flesh with one another. And there's all the usual nonsense surrounding royalty. And we see it here in the United States to some extent. Like when a president is coronated here, they do the same stuff. The stars and the celebrities are there, and it's a big to-do. And it really is just an indicator of how far the people of this planet still have to go. That there are still so many people here on this earth that believe the idea of power is like completely legitimate.
Are you suggesting that King Charles is not in fact the avatar of the sun god? Well, if he wasn't the avatar of the sun god, then why would he be reigning over the isle? Tell me that, Mr. Freeman.
Yeah, but they don't get a lot of sun there, do they?
Well, that's actually the reason for the crown, is the references to the sun.
I did not know.
Yeah, crown, coronet, it's the same word.
I see.
And that's why they always had the little circle over the head, and why they're made of gold.
So people still love this crap, you know? They're still obsessed with royalty. They're obsessed with thinking the politicians are, you know, somehow going to help us.
Well, and it's sad for at least
I'll say at least the United States of America, that people have that sort of delusion.
There are even people in the United States of America who have the royalty delusion.
Sure, yeah. Right? But I mean, like, it plays out in the United States where not only do they have this delusion about royalty is better than everybody when it comes to, like, England, for example, right? I remember, like, when Princess Di was all in the news, even before she died or whatever. She was, I mean, in, like, all the young girls were all, oh, the princess and blah, 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 right? You know,
well,
that
what
kind of thing.
Young girl doesn't want to be a princess? I mean, it's all across Disney entertainment, right? It's being pushed constantly. Well,
and that was part of why Diana was so popular, was that this here was a commoner who had become a princess.
Right. And so, but what I'm getting at is that the people in the United States now equate things with royalty that are just are not. Not to mention the fact that royalty in and of itself is a false sort of a presentation, right? It's fiction. It doesn't really exist.
No, they're just people.
They're just people.
Who tend to be inbred.
But people in the United States treat politicians and movie stars like they are royalty. And that sickens me.
Yeah, and that these are the important people.
Yeah.
Everyone else is unimportant people, but these are important people, not because they can do anything, not because they're more capable in any discernible way, shape, or form. They just are more important. Intrinsic value. And that's just what happens when you're the avatar of the sun god. Or whatever kind of nonsense you can come up with to say that that's not a flesh and blood human being, but in fact, you know, insert title here.
Now, whether this particular flesh-and-blood human being, King Charles III, will actually read this letter written to him by one Julian Assange from inside of the Belmarsh prison, I have no idea. I suspect he probably will not. I don't even know if any of his people will read it, but here it is. I want to share it with you. This is what Julian Assange has to say.
So you're going
to
read his letter, or is it him? There's no audio of him?
No audio.
All right, just check.
They don't let you do that in prison.
I didn't think they did, but...
Yeah. I mean, I guess he could call someone, and they could record it on their end. So it's written with sort of the kingly, flowery language, but I'm pretty sure his tongue is firmly planted within his cheek here. To His Majesty King Charles III. On the coronation of my liege, I thought it only fitting to extend a heartfelt invitation to you to commemorate this momentous occasion by visiting your very own kingdom within a kingdom, His Majesty's prison Belmarsh. You will no doubt recall the wise words of a renowned playwright, quote, "The quality of mercy is not strained, it droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath." Unquote. Ah, but what would that bard know of mercy, faced with the reckoning at the dawn of your historic reign? After all, one can truly know the measure of a society by how it treats its prisoners, and your kingdom has surely excelled in that regard. Your Majesty's prison, Belmarsh, is located at the prestigious address of 1 Western Way, London, just a short fox hunt from the Old Royal Naval College in Greenwich. How delightful it must be to have such an esteemed establishment bear your name. It is here that 687 of your loyal subjects are held, supporting the United Kingdom's record as the nation with the largest prison population in Western Europe. As your noble government has recently declared, your kingdom is currently undergoing, quote, the biggest expansion of prison places in over a century. With its ambitious projections showing an increase of the prison population from 82,000 to 106,000 within the next 4 years. Quite the legacy indeed. As a political prisoner, held at your Majesty's pleasure on behalf of an embarrassed foreign sovereign, that's the United States, I'm honored to reside within the walls of this world-class institution. Truly, your kingdom knows no bounds. During your visit, you will have the opportunity to feast upon the culinary delights prepared for your loyal subjects on a generous budget of £2 per day. Oh, God.
Wow. I detect a hint of sarcasm.
Yes. Very.
You mean we
sarcastic.
Shouldn't be measuring our distances in fox hunts?
Savor the blended tuna heads and the ubiquitous reconstituted forms that are purportedly made from chicken. and worry not, for unlike lesser institutions, it's hard to hold this together because it's funny, but it's also really sad, right? Like, this is the reality, this is what's really happening, and it's not just him, you know, this is happening at prisons all over the world. For unlike lesser institutions such as Alcatraz or San Quentin, there is no communal dining in a mess hall. At Belmarsh, prisoners dine alone in their cells, ensuring the utmost intimacy with their meal. So it's solitary confinement for all 687 prisoners. Beyond the gustatory pleasures, I can assure you that Belmarsh provides ample educational opportunities for your subjects. As Proverbs 22:6 has it, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old he will not depart from it. Observe the shuffling queues at the medicine hatch where inmates gather their prescriptions, not for daily use but for the horizon-expanding experience of a big day out all at once. You will also have the opportunity to pay your respects to my late friend Manuel Santos, a gay man facing deportation to Bolsonaro's Brazil, who took his own life just 8 yards from my cell using a crude rope fashioned from his bedsheets, his exquisite tenor voice now silenced forever. Venture further into the depths of Belmarsh, and you will find the most isolated place within its walls. Healthcare, or healthcare, as its inhabitants lovingly call it. Here you will marvel at sensible rules designed for everyone's safety, such as the prohibition of chess, whilst permitting the far less dangerous game of checkers. Typical, total arbitrary prison rules.
Yeah, I mean, chess... You know, now you're playing with royalty, right? Whereas checkers, all you get is kings, right? You know,
deep within healthcare.
Well, chess might make you think of war, whereas checkers will not.
Oh, right, yeah.
We've got to keep these prisoners pacified, lest they take over the world.
Deep within healthcare lies the most gloriously uplifting place in all of Belmarsh, nay, the whole of the United Kingdom, the sublimely named Belmarsh End of Life Suite. Listen closely, and you may hear the prisoner's cries of, "Brother, I'm going to die in here," a testament to the quality of both life and death within your prison. But fear not, for there is beauty to be found within these walls. Feast your eyes upon the picturesque crows nesting in the razor wire and the hundreds of hungry rats that call Belmarsh home. And if you come in the spring, you may even catch a glimpse of the ducklings laid by wayward mallards within the prison grounds. But don't delay, for the ravenous rats ensure their lives are fleeting. I implore you, King Charles, to visit His Majesty's prison Belmarsh, for it is an honor befitting a king. As you embark upon your reign, may you always remember the words of the King James Bible. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That's Matthew 5:7. And may mercy be the guiding light of your kingdom, both within and without the walls of Belmarsh, your most devoted subject, Julian Assange.
Wow.
Yeah, that's just a little taste of what life is like inside the Belmarsh prison for Julian Assange, as he awaits what has now been ruled by the High Court, I believe, most recently. This was last
high,
year.
Right.
He is indeed subject to being... shoved off into the United States, extradited is the legal term, but they are still appealing that, last I heard, to the Supreme Court, so-called, in the UK. So that's the last stop. So they haven't gone through the final check and balance, if you will, on this insane system. So
they don't have green peppers on their Supreme Court in the UK. They only have sour cream and olives.
I'm sure. So there you go. That's what I have for you. I just wanted to share that with you because, well, like I said, we don't hear from Julian Assange very often. And sort of like if here in the United States, if Ross Ulbricht writes some essay, we usually read that too, because these are two guys who do not belong behind bars. They are not a danger to anyone anywhere except for, the criminal state.
Show me the victim of WikiLeaks. Oh, it's the United States government. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they don't like it when you tell the truth.
Yeah.
And this is what they do. And this is what they want everyone in the world of journalism to know. They want you to know that if you tell too much truth, or if your truth hurts the wrong people, then a cell with rats running around and reconstituted questionable chicken or whatever it is that they're feeding him could wait for you. You may be next.
I thought it was an interesting touch to keep them from having meals together.
Yes.
It's one of the fundamental and defining traits of humanity.
To break bread?
Together.
Yeah.
So every other, more or less every other social species, they eat according to pecking order.
Mm-hmm.
So who is first eats first, who is last eats last.
That still happens in prison.
But human beings have always eaten together. It's actually why we smile. So any other creature, if it shows you its teeth, it's either trying to scare you or it is scared of you.
Yeah, and they will do that frequently when they're over their food, right? You if you're approaching, if you're another animal, and it will bare its teeth, like, okay, get back. It's my turn right now.
Yeah. In humans alone, that is a sign of friendship, a familiar thing, a kind thing, a way of expressing that I am not a threat to you, because we would eat together. And in the eating, we would see each other's teeth. So on a root level, that is a part of what it is to be human, is to eat together. And even that is not allowed.
Yeah. He doesn't really mention what kind, if any, time out he gets. I know that here in the New Hampshire state facilities that I've been held in, if you're on solitary, you get 1 hour out per day. And in my case, it was the 1 hour that I was out, I was alone in the cell block. And then the next guy would get his hour out alone in the cell block.
They rotated.
Yeah, so you wouldn't get the full, you wouldn't get any kind of contact beyond just seeing somebody walk by your prison cell, which was a little bit, but that's about it.
Yeah.
So.
And just for anyone who doesn't know, that is literally torture. So if you deprive someone of socializing, that activates the exact same part of their brain as waterboarding them or hooking them up to a car battery. Like, activates the same part of your brain. It is literally torture. We are designed to be with other human beings. Like, if you take a baby and you don't look it in the eye and you don't touch it, they will turn over on their side and die.
Hmm.
That is how humans are built. And this...
Well, they'll become a psychopath later.
Oh, no, that's the thing. If they're young enough, they just won't survive not being smiled at.
Wow.
That's how humans are.
Yeah, the psychopathy generally comes from abuse.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've heard bad things about kids that don't get hugged.
Yeah, you know? Along with a whole host of other mental disorders and, you know, social disorders and that kind of thing.
So if you want to comment on Julian Assange, you're certainly welcome to do so. As I understand it, there are actually people out there that think he should be punished for telling the truth. And if
there's people who have
people,
heard stuff on the mainstream media and they go, oh, I'll just repeat that so I sound intelligent.
If you're one of those people and you want to call in, we'd love to hear from you. The number is 603-283-6160. Why is telling the truth, or should telling the truth, be a criminal act in a place where there's supposed to be freedom of speech and freedom of the press? The number is 603-283-6160, and we'll get into the press freedom coming up.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
U.S. USA News update. An active shooter is being reported at a shopping mall in Allen, Texas. That's about 30 miles north of Dallas. Shots rang out this afternoon at the Allen Premium Outlets. The number of victims is still not known. A second horse at Churchill Downs has died today. Derby week has been overshadowed by the deaths of seven horses in recent days. President Biden is defending his son's business dealings ahead of possible federal charges. In an interview on MSNBC, Biden said Hunter, quote, has done nothing wrong when asked about a Washington Post report that prosecutors may soon decide whether to file tax-related charges against his son. A day steeped in tradition as history is made in England with the coronation of King Charles III. The 74-year-old son of Queen Elizabeth II was crowned on Saturday in a lavish ceremony at Westminster Abbey. Jerry Marmash, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And you can bring up whatever you want to discuss. We can talk about the banking crisis. Coming up also, the Press Freedom Index is out with updated numbers here in 2023. Now, of course, they always... usually like a couple years behind as far as their data is concerned. So this is probably from data from like 2021 or whatever. But either way, it is interesting to see where the various countries of the world rank as far as their press freedom. And if you've never heard of the Press Freedom Index before and you're in the United States, you might be surprised at where the United States ranks on press so-called freedoms.
But those are enshrined in the Bill of Rights.
Yeah, so you would think that we'd be pretty good. But remember, we are talking about what they're doing to Julian Assange right now, or what they want to do to him. He's currently in...
doesn't count. He's not American.
He's currently in the Belmarsh prison in the United Kingdom, awaiting extradition. He's challenging that. And we can talk more about press freedoms here in a moment. But let's go to the phones and your calls and thoughts, and also Mark Warden wants you to know about the freedoms here in New Hampshire, where we've got a great migration of freedom-loving people. In fact, the three of us on this show,
We didn't know each other before the Free State Project. We didn't know one another before the migration of liberty-oriented people that have been coalescing here in New Hampshire. We've had some tremendous successes so far. We can't talk about all that stuff on the air, but Mark Warden and Porcupine Real Estate is going to be having a series of seminars or webinars about various different topics, including gun freedom, medical freedom, political freedom victories, and, of course, best practices on moving to the Free State and finding housing. They are free to attend. All you have to do is just get registered, and we got a website that'll get you right to the registration page. Just go to move.freetalklive.com. That's move.freetalklive.com and sign up there. If you want to see some of their previous webinars, you can do that. Get a feel for what these are like. Go to the Porcupine Real Estate YouTube channel. It's called Porcupine Real Estate, and you can watch previous seminars there. So go ahead and get signed up for the upcoming ones over at move.freetalklive.com. And thanks to Mark Warden and Porcupine Real Estate for helping bring more people here to New Hampshire, helping pave the way for more migrants, more freedom-loving migrants.
Yeah, when I saw Mark at Aria's sentencing hearing, you know, like, how's business? He's like, people keep moving.
Busy.
Like, yeah. Sweet. That's good news.
There's more movers than there's ever been in the last couple of years, so they are definitely busy.
He'd be the one to know because, well, we don't like being on lists, and it's not like we all congregate in one particular city. We're all throughout the state. So.
Yeah, that's true. Let's go to the phones here. We got Major Payne on the line in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Major.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.
That's you a guys catchy party. Jingle.
So you guys got it. As far as what you're talking about, justice and whatnot, you got to remember with old lady, Lady Justice on the front of the courthouse with the scales in her hands. You don't think they put a blindfold on her for nothing, did you?
Well, the official story on that is so that she isn't prejudiced by looking at you. So
oh,
that she
I
can
understand.
Just feel the weight of the arguments.
I can understand the concept, but it's no longer applicable, as they say. So,
well,
as far as
no longer implies that it used to be. And frankly, that's a fundamental mythology of this country, is that we used to have all these things like rights and justice, but I have seen no evidence that that's ever the case.
Yeah, and maybe, just maybe, the blindfold is self-induced so that she can avoid the ugliness of what the justice system is actually doing.
I had a preacher a couple years back. I was doing a job on a church, and he asked me if I was vaccinated, and I said no. And he says, why not? I says, well, the government hasn't told me the truth since I began to speak about 1962, so why should I believe him now? And he just, you know, about died laughing, of course, because he was an anti-vaxxer himself, I think. But anyway, I wanted to talk about old King Charles and the coronation here.
Okay, sure.
Well, if there's part of the acceptance speech that he has to announce himself defender of the faith. And evidently about...
interesting wording.
Like Judas Priest?
Is that one of their songs?
Yeah, they have an album called Defenders of the Faith.
Oh, wow.
To be fair, the coronation ceremony came first.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
So, but no, that is curious language. I mean, we've talked about how they use similar language in the United States government as well. When they speak about the state, they talk about faith. Biden had it as part of his campaign header on his Twitter as he was trying to get elected, and his Twitter header said, keep the faith.
Well, trying to restore the soul of the country.
I'm going to take you back 1,000 years and explain the root of the tree here.
Okay.
So, anyway, King Charles on this interview said he didn't want to enunciate the speech that way. He wanted to acceptance of all faiths or some such thing. Hmm. And this is how they're trying to bill him now on the English media. But this all came from Henry VIII. And this was, I don't know which one of you guys or two of you guys was sitting second and third chair. But we got into a conversation about this, and one of you guys asked me which came first, Martin Luther or Henry VIII, doing the, changing protest. And they become the King of England, then became the head of the church. But anyway, so Martin Luther absconded from the church first, and Henry VIII wrote him a scalding letter. And the Pope got wind of this and wrote Henry VIII a letter and announced him high defender of the faith. And so that's how that got into the coronation
ceremony. Okay.
And that was just a year after he had scalded somebody for doing exactly what he just got done doing, right? He's the one that wanted to marry his mistress, and in order to do that, he had to behead his wife. Remember?
God. I don't remember.
Well,
but,
his first one, divorced, beheaded, died, divorced, beheaded, survived. That's the mnemonic device for the six wives of Henry VIII.
Wow,
so the first one was,
huh?
Yeah. So the first one was not beheaded. The first one was divorced.
Hmm. But just to be clear, he was not a bigamist. These were in a
sequential.
Row. Sequential,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So remember the whole, like, incest thing that they do?
Yeah.
Turns out that's not great for your sperm.
No.
So he kept not having kids and not having kids and then having a daughter and then not having kids and not having kids.
Mm.
I don't know what's wrong with all these women. All these different wives that I get just can't seem to bring a child to term.
Well, maybe Henry VIII couldn't make it to the sporting goods department. You got to be able to park in the back of the store to make a son.
You lost me there.
Is that a dirty joke? I mean, I'm
sure it was, but I don't know what.
I'm glad it's not just me on this.
This is what we call a classic dirty joke for those of you who might be older.
Everything a man wants is in the back of the store. Ladies' lingerie and all that stuff is up front. So if you want a son, you got to go shopping in the back of the store.
I thought it was a reference to, like, parts of the women's body. Okay, thank you for the call tonight, Major. I appreciate it here.
It's like it was.
You can call later on Beard Talk Live and explicitly explain that one, because we can't talk about, you know, too many dirty things here on the radio. Let's go to Ricky in Pennsylvania. You're on
Speaking
Beard Talk
of dirty
Live.
Things.
No, there will be no dirty jokes, and I don't even want to hear. It's a good thing I currently can't listen, because I don't even want to hear the explanation. I don't think I'll understand it anyway.
All right. What do you got tonight, Ricky?
Right, that being said, I had something else on the mind. Raising the debt ceiling.
Again. Let's just say again. Like the first time I heard of this raising of the debt ceiling was 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And they keep on.
And then it seems to come up like almost every other year, maybe?
Yeah.
And there's a whole big hubbub about it on the news. Oh my God, the debt ceiling.
Credit where it's due. They are being extra hubbubby on this one.
And then they just go ahead and raise it because there's nothing else they can do.
Yeah. Literally every year on average since it has existed, it has either been suspended or raised. Now, I expect this time it'll be suspended. Some people think it'll be raised, but they make a whole big to-do about
it. Maybe it'll be raised.
It's spending. Your fault. You are spending recklessly, party that is in power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course the Republicans are making a big to-do about how they're gonna stick their heels in the sand, and they're going to slow things down, and they're going to cut.
No, they're not.
And no, none of those things are going to happen. They're going to make a big show, and at the very
they're
end...
They're going to abolish the IRS.
They're going to fold.
The last time either the Democrats or the Republicans, depending on who's the party, the last time any of them did something that they called a cut, all they did was reduce the rates of debt they're incurring.
Mm.
They did not cut anything.
They didn't cut the program.
Yeah, they didn't cut the program. They didn't cut the spending, right? They just slightly reduced the rate of debt accumulation.
And
they called that a cut.
Yeah, and honestly, at this point, there's no point. Like, you are so far behind the eight ball.
Oh, yeah.
There is no digging your way out of the debt at this point.
Yeah, go look up the debt clock online. Debt clock, or whatever.
Well, I think it's U.S. debt clock.
Well, and I mean, it's complicated, right? But one of the big points of no return on this thing is the comparison of how much you owe compared to how much you're making, right? And like when you are when the amount of taxes that you're taking in stops being able to pay the interest on the debt,
right?
Like just the interest,
right? Oh, I actually have something here. CFR.org reporting on the debt ceiling raises. So it has been raised
78 times since 1960.
Wow.
Like Biden said, it's been raised for the past 6,000 years.
Most recently,
Biden would remember.
2021 was the most recent debt ceiling raising, and that doesn't include the 7 times that apparently the debt ceiling was quote-unquote suspended as well.
So, yeah, I thought we were talking about just putting raisins on the debt ceiling, right? Raisin the debt ceiling.
So what about it, Ricky?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's necessary for the show, but before I go into my view on it, do you think it's necessary maybe for one of you guys to briefly tell everybody what the debt ceiling actually is?
Sure. Okay, so the debt ceiling is where they pretend there are limits to the amount of money that they will spend. So they have the ability to print as much money as they want, mm-hmm. using all of these complicated ways of pretending that they're not printing money when they're in fact printing money. Now, in order to assure the rest of the world that they're not going to be completely reckless, as they obviously are, they say, no, we have this ceiling, and we will totally stop at this point. And they never, ever do. No. Now, fun fact about this, though, every time there's a serious kerfluffle, as there appears to be happening now, about raising the debt ceiling, not when they raise the debt ceiling, but when they argue about raising the debt ceiling is when they actually lose their creditworthiness, according to the people that rate those things.
Okay.
Moody's.
Moody's.
Yeah.
Standard & Poor's.
Yeah.
All that kind of crap.
Yeah. Which... Yeah, it's nonsense, but it's their way of make-believing that there is any limit to the number of dollars that they will ever print.
Right, and just in case you think for a moment that Republicans care more, because that's what they want you to believe, right? The Republicans are making a big to-do right now.
We're fiscally conservative people. We like to spend less money.
In case you were wondering, of the 78 times since 1960 that Congress has increased the debt ceiling, which, by the way, is an average of more than once a year, the 49 of those 78 times were implemented under Republican presidents.
Huh.
So the majority of them.
But they totally won't do it this time.
This time it'll be... It's like, the United States of America is in an abusive relationship with their government. And they just keep... Well, this time they'll be different, and they just won't leave because, you know, they're so in love, and they got Stockholm Syndrome, and they got... What's the other one?
Cognitive dissonance.
Yeah. And, you know, like, well, you know, he needs me, and so we'll just stay with him.
Well, I will say... I think that it is more likely now than it used to be that they will actually default on this thing.
No, because, no, that's what I was going to get into, Beakless, but go for it.
Okay, so my reasoning for this is, look, they finally have an actual competitor. So up until, say, 2009, 2012, depending on how you wanted to cut it, All of their competitors were fiat currencies. Mm-hmm. So being the world reserve currency meant that no matter how you debase the currency, you have no comeuppance whatsoever. Now they actually have something to compete against. So there's actually something to fail in respect to. So since everything in their entire system is now collapsing and getting demolished, and mark my words, this will not continue as the reserve currency of the world. That is set in stone. Now, there is a non-zero chance that they will default on their debt and then blame having defaulted on their debt for what was already set in stone. I wouldn't bet on it. But if they're going to do it, I think that'd be why.
And you think that's due to Bitcoin? You were talking about a competitor, but you didn't name names.
Bitcoin. So gold is better than dollars. But look, we live in a globalized world, and you still can't put money. You still can't put gold over the internet. You still can't, you know, shove it into your phone real hard and it show up on the other side. So gold has not been a serious competitor because of that reason, whereas Bitcoin has all of the monetary properties of gold, except they're better, and it can be everywhere in the world simultaneously.
What do you think, Ricky?
Well, I mean,
for the laymen out there, I mean, essentially what Peekless was saying is what we do is we pay all our stuff with the fiat currency, of course, on a credit card, and then we got to pay it off. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And it's
it doesn't seem like they have to pay anything off. I mean, well, the United States debt is over $31 trillion, and it ain't going down.
Well, no, but that's just for this year. They're only doing this year. That's what it comes down to. But see, the problem with that is, you know, the previous year, now they got to pay it. But what happens is we got to, like, June. This is the problem with this dangerous game. And what's really scary, and Peekless will probably laugh at this, I mean, there's all kinds of bad things that the Republicans are saying to do to make the thing go down. Okay, but that aside, a funny thing that they said that came out in the press conference before the weekend is, and Biden was complaining too, because what they are doing is they're combining the debt ceiling and the budget together as one and saying we got to cut it this way together. And it's madness. And what's going to happen with this, unfortunately?
Hold on. Before you get into what's going to happen, I do want to hear that. But are you talking about the Republicans saying that the budget can only increase by 1% per year? Is that what you're talking about?
Here's what they're saying. They're combining lowering the debt ceiling with this madness ideas they're having. And what they're also combining with was lowering Biden's budget that he's already got.
Okay.
I kid you not. I wish I made that up.
I still don't know what you're talking about, but I want to know what you think is going to happen.
What are you saying about cutting cuts in his budget that he already made? That's what that means. But here's why I think it's going to happen. Because we have till June, unfortunately, because of that, they have no time to go through the process to get, because they got to do it by September. And what's going to happen as a result, you're going to get your wish, Peekless. Fiat currency is going to go down the toilet, but it's going to be worse than that. It's going to destroy our credit around the world, but it's going to be worse than
ours.
Well,
are you able to spend that 1 cent of this money? I'm not able to spend a cent of this money. In fact, all of it seems to get spent on the things that I would rather never get done, such as, oh, I don't know, making sure that Julian Assange goes to jail and murdering black children on the other side of the planet and, you know, all of the nightmarish things that this regime does.
Thank you for the call tonight, Ricky. I appreciate you bringing the issue up here.
It's possible. It is possible that they've seen the writing on the wall. They've realized that there is no way out of this. So they're looking for a scapegoat. So they'll just go, oh, look, see what happens when we don't raise the debt ceiling.
When they say they might default, quote unquote, default on their debts, and you're saying you think there's a chance that may happen. What does that look like? What does that means they won't pay interest on treasury bonds or something? Like, what does that mean?
What's the practical application of that?
So there's a couple of ways of defaulting on the debt. The one that I expect, the standard one that they do, they just raise the debt ceiling, print more money, pay their debts. Because he was talking about it being like a credit card. Okay, so it's kind of like that, except it's more like getting another credit card to pay off the minimum balance on the credit card that you have now.
For the older folks in the audience, it would be like check kiting.
Mm.
Okay, I'll take your word for that.
Yeah. That's where you get a new checking account and you write a check to cover the balance in your other checking account, and you just repeat that process so that the banks are kind of, because there's always like a 2-week delay, or there used to be a 2-week delay.
Oh, there probably still is.
Personal checks cashing, and so you would have that period of time. Like, people would literally go out and write checks for groceries that they didn't have money for. Mm-hmm. Because they knew it would take the bank a little while to process the check. In the meantime, hoping they could, get a paycheck or land some other funds in some way in time before the bank actually did process it.
Well, now they're putting, I think it's 1 out of 10 Americans are putting their groceries on buy now, pay later.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is always possible that they just don't pay these things. Oh, everything that they're required to pay, except for, so there's a few things that are exempt from the debt ceiling. unfortunately, one of those things is, like, all of the FDIC stuff. So, like, they can print as much money as they want to save the banks.
Lovely.
Yeah. They're just allowed to do that. That doesn't count.
Got to protect the billionaires.
Yeah. Social Security and Medicaid are another couple of things that are outside of the bounds of the debt ceiling. So raise it, don't raise it. It won't make a difference as far as any of that
goes. Who will they threaten to make sure that people vote the right way then? Because usually that's what they do in finance. And they're like, oh, well, if we don't do this, the people on Social Security are going to suffer. No.
They'll threaten to close the parks. They'll threaten to defund the police. They'll threaten to defund the firemen and the usual stuff. Remember when the government, quote-unquote, shutdowns happen? Mm-hmm. They only get rid of the, quote-unquote, non-essential government services. But there's always talk about all the things that they could get rid of. Like,
yeah, and nothing
cops.
Horrible ever happens when they do shut down these supposed non-essential services, like the government just continues functioning.
Now, there's, I'll tell you one thing that they absolutely will not do that on some level people seem to be freaking out about, you know, in the financial world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hypothetically, in theory, not raising the debt ceiling could mean that they don't pay on their treasuries. But that's never going to happen because that would completely destroy the value of the U.S. dollar. Like throughout the earth, because if they miss a payment on their treasuries, then all of a sudden no one wants treasuries anymore, and that's the process of their money printing is treasuries. So, in fact, just to tie this back into what's going on right now, so one of the things happening with the bank collapse, everyone's moving their money into these money market funds, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the benefits for the Federal Reserve on that is these money market funds purchase treasuries at a really high rate because you have Japan not only not purchasing them but getting rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
You have China no longer buying them. You have all of these countries reducing their treasury purchases, so they've got to go somewhere to get these treasuries purchased. Otherwise, either they have to buy them themselves, which looks terrible, or they don't get purchased at all, and that means they can't print any more money. And neither of those can be allowed to happen. Now, what would be really fun is if they started selling all of this government land that they own mostly in the West to pay off their debts. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Not likely, but it would be awesome. And they'd be able to pay their debts without printing more money or going over the debt ceiling.
But wait, Peakless, don't we, quote-unquote, own all that government land?
Yeah, right.
Okay, I guess I'm still confused as to if they're not willing to let the treasuries go unpaid,
right,
what does it mean to default on their debt then?
Well, I'll tell you.
All right, we'll continue here in moments, and your calls and thoughts are welcome. Of course, they got a bunch of ideas to avoid this situation, including printing a $1 trillion coin.
Big-ass coin.
There's more coming up here in moments. It is Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline. airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.